Now we'll begin from the 13th shloka. In the first 12 shlokas, you are recording or what? You can clip close, na? In the first 12 shlokas of this chapter, we have seen the glories of the knowledge about Lord Krishna and knowledge about Krishna's energies. So, in the first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke predominantly about Karma Yoga. And although he spoke about Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, but still his overall emphasis was on Karma Yoga. Okay. And in this chapter, from this chapter, 7th chapter, Krishna elaborately describes the Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And Bhakti has these 9 limbs, you know, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoha, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. And the foremost limb of Bhakti or devotional service is Shravanam, hearing about Krishna. Okay. So, Krishna elaborated on that hearing process in the first 3 shlokas and how by hearing from bona fide sources, either from Krishna or Krishna's representatives, we develop spiritual knowledge. And that knowledge is twofold, jnana and vijnana. Jnana refers to Krishna's energies, potencies, opulence, majesty, and vijnana here refers to his personal attributes and sweetness. And such a person who knows this jnana and vijnana are very rare. And then Krishna gives his energies, gives the description of his energies. Energies are again twofold, Krishna's material energy, which is also called apara prakriti, maya shakti or matter. And superior to this energy is Krishna's spiritual energy, which is para prakriti or jiva shakti or the living entities. And the living entities or jivas exploit this material nature at times. Okay. And later Krishna said that he is the source of both the energies and he is the maintainer of everything in this entire cosmic manifestation. And whomever you see in this whole world, it's a combination, those entities are a combination of material energy and spiritual energy. So this body, this a person is a combination of a material body and spirit soul. Okay. And Krishna is the source of both matter and spirit. We have seen that. And we also have seen how Krishna is all pervasive in every nook and corner of this entire creation. And he is the essence of everything. Krishna is beyond material modes. Although Krishna has given several examples that he is the taste of water and he is the syllable Om in Vedic mantras and he is the fragrance of earth. Like that he gave 14 examples which are more or less in the purview of material modes. He is all pervading in all entities or in all objects that are product of material modes also. That does not mean he is under the influence of modes. He is beyond the influence of material modes. Okay. So Krishna is beyond the material modes. And we also saw that a person who takes a shelter of Krishna can also come out of the influence of modes. So Krishna is beyond the influence of material modes and by taking shelter of Krishna, we can also come out of the influence of material modes. So that is the prominent theme in the next couple of verses. From the 13th shloka till 19th shloka, means in the next section, we see that the process of surrender to Krishna is explained. Krishna says in the 13th shloka, Tribhir gunama yair bhavayir Ebhis sarvamidam jagat Mohitam nabhijanati Mame bhyaparamavyayam Tribhir gunama yair bhavayir Ebhis sarvamidam jagat. So whatever you see in this material world is under the influence of 3 material modes. Tribhir gunamayair bhavair. ebhi sarvamidam jagat. And mohitam na abhijanati, because of the bewilderment or the confusion or the illusion caused by these material modes, mohitam na abhijanati, one cannot understand Krishna. Okay, what we need to understand about Krishna? Krishna says in the last line, mame bhyaha param avyayam. Krishna is transcendental and Krishna is avyaya, inexhaustible. Krishna is supreme. So the divine nature of Krishna is not understandable by an ordinary living entity to the degree he is influenced by material modes. So because of the influence of material modes, we are unable to understand Krishna. Why we cannot know God, why we cannot appreciate God, why we cannot worship God. And even after commencing worship of Krishna, why we get distracted in that worship? It's all because of the influence of material modes. That's what Krishna said in this 13th sloka. So the whole world is enchanted by the material modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is Supreme Lord Krishna. Okay. So every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body. So because of the influence of material modes and material nature, the body undergoes certain kinds of transformations. And the living entity acquires different kinds of bodies that undergo different transformations. Okay. And a lot of attention of every living entity is concentrated on the body. Bodily maintenance, bodily enjoyment, bodily suffering. So the soul, the spirit soul, when it stays in the material body, so lot of time goes in maintaining this body, and lot of time goes in experiencing the suffering and enjoyment that comes through this temporary material body. And the deeper is the conditioned mentality of conditioned souls, the lesser is the degree of their dedication to Krishna and connection with Krishna on a spiritual plane. Okay, all this is because of the influence of material modes. So now Krishna said in the 4th chapter already that he has divided this human society into 4 categories, 4 varnas. Okay, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. Okay, and this is not according to their birth, it is according to their qualities and work that he has said. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Okay, that we have seen. Now, Brahmanas are predominantly influenced by material mode of goodness. And Kshatriyas are predominantly influenced by mode of passion. And Vaishyas are into mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And Shudras are predominantly influenced by mode of ignorance. Okay. So to the degree one is affected by material modes, to that degree one cannot understand Krishna. And the lower is the mode, the higher is the possibility of not understanding Krishna. Right? People who are in deep ignorance, they have lesser possibility to understand Krishna. People who are little more elevated, they are in mode of goodness, it's easy for them to understand Krishna. And ultimately, we have to completely transcend all these 3 modes. Whether it is lower mode of ignorance or higher mode of goodness, whatever, we have to ultimately transcend. But those who are in goodness are in a better situation than those who are in ignorance and passion. Okay. So, tribhir gunamayair bhavair ebhis sarvamidam jagat. Everybody in this world is influenced by 3 material modes. So, because of the influence of modes, we are unable to understand Krishna. That's the overall theme of this shloka and purport. There are many kinds of living entities. Now we have only seen the categorization of human beings into 4 varnas. And in this material world, there are different types of species. There are human beings, there are demigods, there are animals, there are birds, there are insects, and so many kinds of people are there. So many kinds of living entities are there. So those who are in human bodies, they are better situated than those are in animal bodies and bird bodies. Okay, means their consciousness is more developed and elevated. They can connect with Krishna better than the non-human species. But whether it is human species or non-human species, all of them are under the influence of material modes. Okay, non-human species are predominantly in lower modes. Okay, human species, amongst human species also, some people are predominantly in lower modes, some people are in higher modes. But modes are influencing every conditioned soul. Okay, because of that we are unable to understand Krishna. That's the theme of 13th sloka. In the 14th sloka, Krishna says, okay, you are unable to understand me because of the influence of modes. So what's the solution? That's the problem. What's the solution? How to come out of these material modes and then you can understand Krishna? Krishna says in the 14th sloka, Daivi yesha gunamayim, mama maya duratyayam, mameva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite, Daivi yesha gunamayi. This material energy, which constitutes of three material modes, that is also Daivi, that is divine. That is also energy of Krishna. Anything that belongs to Krishna is divine. So this divine energy of Krishna, which constitutes of these three material modes, Daivi, Hiesha, Gunamayi, that is called Maya, Maya Shakti. It is Duratyaya, Mama Maya Duratyaya. Duratyaya means it's very difficult to surpass this material energy. So to transcend the influence of material modes is very difficult. Mama maya duratyaya. But mamevaye prapadyante, if we surrender unto Krishna, maya metam tarantite, we can easily surpass maya. To the degree we take shelter of Krishna, to that degree we can come out of the influence of material modes. Then we can understand Krishna. Basically, to understand Krishna, we have to take shelter of Krishna. Okay? Why we are unable to understand Krishna? Because of the influence of Maya. Why we are unable to take shelter of Krishna? Because of influence of Maya. So, yes, Maya's influence is there, but still if we attempt to take shelter of Krishna, we cannot exclusively take shelter of Krishna immediately. But if we make our feeble attempts to take shelter of Krishna, so Krishna will give us the inspiration and strength and increase our devotion towards Him slowly, slowly, slowly. Then gradually we can transcend the influence of Maya and we can completely come under the shelter of Krishna. For that we need to take some baby steps towards approaching Krishna's shelter. So, now the release from this bondage. But because as long as one person is in the influence of material modes, there is always bondage. Okay? Guna also means rope. Being under the influence of gunas means being bound by the ropes of gunas. Okay? The conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion to this world. A man bound, if your hands are tied up, your legs are tied up, how can you move? Okay? So, whatever little movement you are doing like this, if you think you are comfortable in that is called illusion. Your hands are tied, your legs are tied, your waist is tied to a pole or to a bed or something like that. You are unable to move, but whatever little movements you are making, you are getting comfortable with it and you are thinking, I am happy. In this material world, because of modes, all of us are tied. Can you fly? You can't fly. Can you go to heavenly planet and then meet Indra and say hi, hello and then come back? Not possible. Okay. So, can you stop disease? It's very cold. Some of you are wearing sweaters now. Right? Can you stop it? You can't. Okay. So, after some time, it will become very hot. Can you stop the heat of sun? No. You can act. The max make some arrangements of putting fan or putting AC. That's all. So, we are always under the influence of material energy or Maya. We are not fully independent. But within this bondage, okay, where we don't have sufficient freedom, we cannot act according to our desires fully, we think that we are comfortable. So we find some little comfort zone. So there is not much movement, but there is little movement because of you have tied your hand. There is some movement, so you are happy with that movement. Some people it's a little loosely tied, so they can do like this. Okay, some will little more loosely tied, they can do like this. But ultimately, they are unable to do like this. Okay, so basically, the influence of modes is strong on some living entities and weak on some living entities. To the degree their consciousness is developed. But in the material world, everybody is bound to a greater or lesser degree. The object of Bhakti Yoga is to completely come out of this influence of bondage of Maya. And that is possible to the degree we sincerely take shelter of Krishna. Daivi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyanti. Mam eva. Krishna says, Prabhupada elaborates it in the purport. Mam eva means only me. Only by taking shelter of Krishna you can come out of the influence of Maya. I will take shelter of some demigods. I will take shelter of some wealthy people or some Babaji's or some this person, some that person. No. Mam eva ye prapadyante. Only by taking shelter of Krishna we can come out of Maya. Okay. So it's very clear, not Brahma, Shiva. So some of these demigods are also under the influence of Maya. All the demigods. So they are also holding some posts. So one can take shelter of Krishna by learning how to take shelter from a person who has already taken shelter of Krishna. Right? So that is tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninah tattvadarshinah. So one can take shelter of Krishna by approaching a bona fide guru. And what is the nature of guru? The guru himself also should be surrendered to Krishna. The guru also is a devotee of Krishna. Unless we are a devotee of Krishna, we cannot teach devotion to Krishna to others. We ourselves need to be devotees of Krishna. Right? So when guru is a devotee, and if we go and take shelter of such a guru, he can tell us how to take shelter of Krishna. Okay? He can teach us the process of surrender. So there is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation to everyone. Okay? So Bhakti Yoga can help one gain such release from material bondage. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can release the conditioned soul from the bondage. So Krishna is the boss of Maya also. We have seen in Srimad Bhagavatam also. So Vyasadeva was meditating. After receiving instructions from Narada Muni, Vyasadeva meditates. In his meditation, he has seen whom? Krishna, Maya and Jiva. Okay. So Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Amale Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Chetadapashrayam. So in the mood of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, Vyasadeva concentrated his mind. In his meditation, he could see Krishna and he could see Maya behind Krishna, Maya under the control of Krishna. And later, Yaya Sammohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Something similar, whatever Krishna is telling here, Vyasadeva has seen there also. He has also seen Jiva, the materialistic living entity, under the influence of Maya, suffering because of that influence. And later he also has seen that bhakti is the solution. So Jiva is suffering because of Maya. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartham tatkritam chabhipadyate. Means although he is transcendental, he is thinking that I belong to this material world. So that is anartha. So to come out of that influence, one has to practice Bhakti Yoga. And that Bhakti Yoga is described in our holy scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So now that's why Vyasadeva has written Srimad Bhagavatam just to preach Bhakti Yoga to people. Just to inspire people to do Bhakti Yoga. So now what is that shloka in that series? So chakre satvata samhitam anartha upashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaji lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. Anartha upashamam, so the living entity is undergoing anarthas, unwanted sufferings, miseries. So the solution is sakshat bhakti yogam unto adhokshaja Krishna. So that's why Bhagavatam is written, that's why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita also now. So by taking shelter of Krishna, one can come out of influence. Taking shelter of Krishna is bhakti yoga. Okay. Now, there are some people who do not take shelter of Krishna, and there are some people who can take shelter of Krishna. Those who don't take shelter of Krishna are called Dushkritinas. They are described in the 15th shloka. Those who take shelter of Krishna under various circumstances, in various ways, they are called Sukritinas. They are described in the 16th chapter, 16th shloka. Okay, so let's see 15th. Namam duskriti no moodaham.
Namam duskriti no moodaham.
Prapadyante naradhamaham.
Prapadyante naradhamaham.
Mayaya pahritajnanam.
Mayaya pahritajnanam.
Asuram bhavam ashritaham.
Asuram bhavam ashritaham.
Namam duskriti no moodaham. Krishna says, who will not take his shelter? He said that by taking my shelter, you can come out of Maya in the previous shloka. But there are some people who don't take shelter. Who are they? Dushkritinaha. Dushkritina means, namam dushkritino. Dushkritina means those who don't take shelter. Bad-minded people. They are of four types. Moodha. Moodha means animalistic fools. So they work solely for material sense pleasure. And such kind of material sense pleasure is available even for animals also. But they want such animalistic pleasures only. All their thought process and efforts are centered on eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So such people are called moodhas, animalistic fools. Second quality is naradhamaha. Second category of people. Naradhama means lowest of mankind. Nara means human beings. Adhama means lowest. Lowest of mankind. So they are human beings, although they received the chance of human life in which they can easily attain self-realization, they give up their relationship with God because of misusing their material, minute independence. So they give up bhakti. And this Naradhama people, although they are given certain knowledge about bhakti, still they, even after practicing for a while also they can give up. Such people are called Naradhamas. They are lowest of mankind. Even after receiving an opportunity to be in human life and perform bhakti, still they can give it up. For various reasons. Then third is Mayaya Apaharta Jnanaha. Jnana means knowledge. Apaharta means stolen. By whom? Maya. So, those people whose knowledge is stolen by Maya they are called deluded speculators. They have jnana, but the jnana is stolen. Means they do lot of philosophical analysis and they speculate a lot, and paralysis by analysis will happen. Deluded speculators. Despite having studied the scriptures nicely, still they cannot understand the essence of the scriptures is to take shelter of Krishna. So now how to digest this fact that some people, they may study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that, but they do not follow the process given in Gita and Bhagavatam. Okay. So without understanding or following the ultimate message of the scriptures, which is devotion unto God, they just philosophically they treat. Okay. So Mayaya Apaharta Jnanaha. They think that God is also ordinary human, having studied all scriptures. Then fourth category is Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. Asura means basically a demon. Asura Bhava means demoniac mentality. Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha means people who have taken shelter of demoniac mentality. They are atheists. They are simply envious of God. So these are the four categories of people who do not take shelter of Krishna. Moodha, Naradhama, Mayaya Apahrita Jnana, Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. four categories. Okay. So, the atheistic plan makers are described herein by the word duṣkṛtinaḥ or miscreants. So, you can just go through the purport where Prabhupada elaborates on each of them with few details. I just mentioned in my explanation, but more details are there in the purport. You can go through. Shall we change the position? It's getting sunny. In the 15th shloka, Krishna described the four types of duṣkṛtinaḥ. And in the 16th shloka, Krishna will be describing four types of sukṛtinaḥ. Chaturvidha bhajante maam.
Chaturvidha bhajante maam.
Jana sukṛtino arjuna.
Jana sukṛtino arjuna.
Artho jignasur arthārthi.
Artho jignasur arthārthi.
Jnani cha bharatarshabham.
Jnani cha bharatarshabham.
Chaturvidha bhajante maam. Four types of people worship me, Krishna says. And they are called sukṛtinaḥ, janāḥ sukṛtino arjuna. They are all sukṛtinaḥ, people who are very pious and well-natured people. Okay, who are they? Ārto means those who are distressed, those are undergoing some calamities in life, like Gajendra. Gajendra was distressed. In a situation of distress, Gajendra surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. Okay. Second category are called Jignasu. Jignasu means very inquisitive. They want to know about God. Like the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, all the Shaunakadi Rishis were very inquisitive. They come under the category of Jignasu. They were asking so many questions to Suta Goswami. Can you please tell about this, tell about that? Then third category is called Artha-Arthi. Artha means wealth. Arthi means one who desires, one who begs for it. So the seekers of wealth are the third category of people who surrender unto Krishna. The best example is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj worshipped Krishna just to attain a very great material position. Fourth category of people are called Jnanis. Jnani means those who are seeking knowledge. Okay. They seek knowledge of Krishna. So they, as for example, Sukadeva Goswami, initially he has heard some shlokas about Krishna and then he wanted to hear more. Okay. So now Jignasu, the inquisitive people, and Jnani, the knowledge seeking people, they both seem to be same, but Jnani is much better than a Jignasu. Jignasu is little inquisitive. Jnani means he is more serious in his pursuit of knowledge about God. Okay, it's not a simple curiosity. It's a very deep-rooted determination to understand Krishna. So, Jnani is much better than a Jignasu. Jnani is better than all three, actually. Artha, Jignasu, Arthārthi, and Jnani. Jignasu is little curious to know God, but Jnani is very strong in his determination to understand God. So, here, sukṛtinaḥ are pious people who follow scriptural principles. They already have some alignment with the Vedic culture and they may not have pure devotion, unflinching devotion to God, but still they have some inclination towards spiritual life. Okay. They are already following scriptural principles, social principles, moral codes, and the rules of Varnashrama, and they are worshipping Krishna. But the motive behind their worship is not fully pure. They want to come out of their distress, or they want some wealth, they want some knowledge. That kind of motives are there. They are not fully selfless devotees, but they are devotees. Okay. So actually there is bhakti is of multiple types. Okay. So There is first type of bhakti which is called Kevala bhakti. Kevala bhakti means pure, unalloyed, unflinching devotional service. Okay. You perform bhakti unto Krishna, or you worship Krishna, or you render various services unto Krishna only for the pleasure of Krishna. There is no other motive behind you. You will do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc., etc. All this is just to please Krishna. Okay. There is no expectation in return. So such people are called Kevala Bhaktas. So Kevala Bhakti is described in the very first verse of this chapter only. When Krishna said, Maya Sakta Manaha Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, he is describing Kevala Bhakti there, according to the Acharyas. Okay. And in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th sloka, Krishna says, Ananya Chetaha Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha Tasya Aham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. So, Ananya Chetaha Satatam, without any deviation in his consciousness, one who constantly worships Krishna, okay, only for his pleasure, and he remembers Krishna always. So such people can easily attain Krishna because they are doing Kevala Bhakti. Their mind is not diverted to 10 other things, only Krishna. And constantly they are worshipping Krishna. So that is called Ahaituki Bhakti and Apratihata Bhakti. Ahaituki means you have no motives behind your bhakti. Apratihata means you have no interruptions or breaks behind your bhakti. And you have only one object of worship, that is Krishna. There is no one else. Okay, you have only one goal, that is to please Krishna, and you have no other goal to attain any material benefits. Okay, such pure, selfless, unalloyed, unflinching bhakti is called Kevala Bhakti. Okay, this is also called Ananya Bhakti, Akinchana Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. So these are various names of this Kevala Bhakti. Okay, so that is one category. And this kind of bhakti can be in multiple flavors. Under Kevala Bhakti, you can serve Krishna and Dasya flavor, or Vatsalya flavor, or Madhurya flavor. There are other rasas. You know that five rasas, right? So Kevala Bhakti has again subcategories of Dasya Bhakti and Vatsalya Bhakti, Sakya Bhakti, etc. Now, second category of bhakti is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Okay, or bhakti mixed with some tendencies of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. You are bhakta, you are a devotee of Krishna, and that is primary in your life. But along with that, there is some fruitive tendencies. That is called karma mishra bhakti. Along with that bhakti, you also have some knowledge tendencies, means to cultivate knowledge, you are seeking lot of knowledge and to be a scholar and whatever. That is called Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And you also are aspiring for some mystic siddhis, etc. That is called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. You are performing bhakti unto Krishna, but you have some other desires that may fall under the category of karma, jnana and yoga. So then it becomes Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, which is again having subcategories of Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti. So that is called alloyed bhakti or mixed bhakti, not pure bhakti. But in this Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, bhakti is prominent and the alloy or the mixture, that is secondary. In Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Yoga Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti, bhakti is prominent. Jnana, Karma, Yoga are secondary. Okay. And there is a third category of bhakti, which is called Guni Bhuta Bhakti. Guni Bhuta Bhakti is also similar to Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. That is also mixed bhakti. So in that also, bhakti is mixed with karma, jnana, yoga, etc. But this karma, jnana, yoga become primary and bhakti become secondary. So mixture is, that mixture or the alloy is more than the main stuff. Okay. So, now bhakti is secondary element. So, in mixed bhakti, there are two categories. You can understand this way. In mixed bhakti, there are two categories. First category is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, in which bhakti is prominent, the alloy is secondary. And Guni Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is secondary and the alloy is prominent. Okay, you know these three categories. So now we are discussing about four types of Sukritanas who are not Kevala Bhaktas. They are Mishra Bhaktas. They have mixed Bhakti. Along with Bhakti, they have alloys also. Fine. So now, in the Sukritanas, amongst the Sukritanas, this Artha Jignasu Artharthi, they are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They all four belong to this Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti category. And this first three types of Sukritanas, Artha, Jignasu, Artharthi, they have Karma Mishra Bhakti. And the last category, Gnan, is they have Gnana Mishra Bhakti. Okay. Bhakti is the primary element, but the other alloys are also there. And Krishna also will describe Yoga Mishra Bhakti after some time. In the 8th chapter, he will describe. Okay. So, 17th sloka. But what is the best type of bhakti? That bhakti which is pure and unalloyed, and that is called Kevala Bhakti. That is the best. Means your bhakti should not have any karma tendencies, jnana tendencies and yoga tendencies. Then bhakti is great. Okay. Anya bhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam. Anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. As we understand the definition of pure devotional service, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar of Devotion. So, such bhakti should be devoid of any karma and jnana tendencies. Okay. Of course, within bhakti, there is lot of karma and there is lot of jnana. Karma is basically work. And jnana is basically knowledge. So, a person who is doing bhakti, he does lot of karma, activity, but devotional activity. And he cultivates lot of jnana, knowledge. But devotional knowledge. Knowledge about Krishna's attributes, name, fame, pastimes, paraphernalia. Okay. So, as long as your karma and jnana are within the realm of pure bhakti, that is fine. But, if our karma is not devotional karma, it is fruitive karma. So, if somebody performs bhakti, and within that bhakti he performs a lot of activity, desiring some material results, then that is Karma Mishra Bhakti. That kind of alloy is not allowed. Activity should be devotional. Knowledge also should be devotional. Not some analytical, speculative knowledge just based on some intellectual exercises or philosophical analysis, ultimately aspiring to become one with God. So that kind of knowledge is not very much appreciated. Okay. So, when these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of pure devotees, they can also become pure devotees. So, this Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta, Yoga Mishra Bhakta or Pradhana Bhuta Bhaktas, they can become Kevala Bhaktas in the association of Kevala Bhaktas. Okay. So, slowly the mixture or the alloy in their bhakti will be removed and bhakti will remain. So, 17th sloka. In 17th sloka, Krishna says, amongst these four types of Sukritanas, who is the best? Jnani is the best. He says, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yuktam.
Tesham Jnani Nitya Yuktam.
Eka Bhaktir Visishyate.
Eka Bhaktir Visishyate.
Priyohi Jnani Notyartham.
Priyohi Jnani Notyartham.
Aham Sachamama Priyaham.
Aham Sachamama Priyaham.
Krishna says, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Visishyate. Amongst these four types of people, a Jnani, one who is in full knowledge of Krishna, Nitya Yukta, who is also performing bhakti. As I said, this Jnani or Yogi or all these people, Jnani, Artha, Artha, Jignasu, Artharthi, Jnani, these four types of people are devotees. Devotion is their primary element. Okay. So, if a Jnani, Jnani of 16th sloka, if such a Jnani, he is constantly performing devotional service, okay, such a person is best of all four. We are not speaking about a Jnani who is only having Jnana without any bhakti. So, this Jnani here in the 16th sloka, he is a bhakti Jnani. So, he is a devotee of Krishna, but he is seeking knowledge about Krishna more. Okay, like that. But his bhakti is main. So, and such a jnani is greater than artha jignasu artharthi. When you approach Krishna, you are great, no doubt. But if you approach Krishna with some other desires, you are not that great. Okay, but still you are great. Okay, so amongst those people who approach Krishna, who are very great, person who approaches Krishna to develop knowledge of Krishna is greatest. Okay, not a person who approaches Krishna to mitigate his distress or to get some money or just to understand what he is, just being little curious to know about him. Those people are not as great as a person who is approaching Krishna to completely understand him. Such a jnani is best. So he is very dear to Krishna and Krishna is very dear to him. Free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, jnani is the best. So while the three types of sukritanas, artha, jignasu, artharthi, they serve Krishna, and Krishna also fulfills their desires. So these people serve Krishna just because Krishna fulfills their desires. Okay. But a jnani serves Krishna wanting to know about him. He does not have material desires for himself. Jnani wants to serve Krishna. He wants to know about Krishna and then serve Krishna. Okay. So jnani is the best. A jnani, after searching after knowledge, realizes that he is different from his material body. Upon further advancement, he knows that Brahman and Paramatma also. And when fully purified, he realizes himself as a servant of Krishna, who is personality of Godhead, who is the source of Brahman and Paramatma also. Okay. So thus, jnani becomes the best of all four. Nevertheless, other three also are good. 18th sloka, Krishna says, Udaraha sarva evaite,
Udaraha sarva evaite,
Jnani tvatma eva me matam,
Jnani tvatma eva me matam,
Asthitaha sahi yuktatma,
Asthitaha sahi yuktatma,
Mame vanutta mam gatim,
Mame vanutta mam gatim.
Okay. Here, Udaraha sarva evaite, all these people are udara, magnanimous people, great people. Jnani tu atmaiva mematam, but of all of them, jnani is very great, is the best, and atmaiva mematam, Krishna considers such a jnani equal to himself. He is dear to me as myself. Okay. So, asthitaha sahi yuktatma mameva anuttamam gatim. Okay. So, Krishna says, being engaged in my service, yuktatma. Yukta means one who is engaged in Krishna seva. So, he is sure to attain Krishna, the highest and most perfect goal. Right? Asthitaha sahi yuktatma mameva, he will attain me only. Anuttamam gatim. Anuttamam. Uttama means better or best. Anuttamam is there is nothing better than this. Anuttamam gatim means attaining Krishna is the best of all goals. There is nothing better than this. Okay? Like that. So now here, Krishna says that I love jnani. Okay? Jnani tu atmaiva mematam. Jnani loves me and I love jnani. And I consider him as good as myself. He is dear to me as much as I am dear to myself. That's what Krishna says. If a jnani who is actually a Mishra Bhakta, who is a Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta, if he is dear to Krishna as much as Krishna is dear to himself, what about a Kevala Bhakta? A Kevala Bhakta is dear to Krishna more than his own self. Do you understand? Kevala Bhakta is dear to Krishna more than himself. And a jnani is dear to Krishna as much as himself. Okay. Krishna holds a Kevala Bhakta, pure devotee, dearer to him more than his own self. I love him more than I love myself. That's what Krishna says. Jnani means I love him as much as I love myself. Other people, not as much as I love myself. I love them. Okay, so the intensity of love, the quality and quantity of love also will increase as your devotion and dedication to Krishna increases. Ultimately, Krishna follows this principle. Yayathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. Okay, next. Here, it is not the devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. They are also dear. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is a Mahatma, a great soul. But better is go to Him without any purpose only. Just serve Him because you love Him. Not that going to serve Him because you need something. Krishna's magnanimity is to consider any person who comes to Him as magnanimous. But what pleases Him the most is if you go there without any motivations, without any desires, with exclusive love. That is the ultimate recommendation of Krishna. So, how a devotee is in the heart of Krishna, Prabhupada quotes this 9th canto sloka and then explains, Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti naham tebhyo managapi. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam. Devotees are always in my heart. And I am in their heart also. I know them, I don't know anyone else. They know me only, they know anyone else. Okay? They don't know anyone else. So basically, the intimate connection between Krishna and His devotees is very wonderfully described in Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita also. 19th sloka. Bahunam janmanamante
Bahunam janmanamante
Jnanavanmam prapadyate
Jnanavanmam prapadyate
Vasudevah sarvamiti
Vasudevah sarvamiti
Samahatmasu durlabham
Samahatmasu durlabham
Bahunam janmanamante. After many births and deaths, Jnanavanmam prapadyate. Such a Jnanavan, such a Jnani, such a person who is actually in knowledge of Krishna, surrenders unto Krishna. So a knowledgeable person also will take several lifetimes to surrender unto Krishna. But still, on the scale of eternity, those many lifetimes is not a big deal. But the glorious thing about him is he surrenders to Krishna. Okay. Vasudeva sarvamiti. He knows that Vasudeva or Krishna is everything. He is all pervading. He is the cause of all causes. He is Vasudeva. And surrenders to Krishna by the association of devotees. And such surrender to Krishna is possible only in the association of devotees. As we just discussed sometime back also, these four types of Sukritanas, who are actually Mishra Bhaktas, can become Kevala Bhaktas in the association of devotees, pure devotees, Kevala Bhaktas, right? So, Jnani also does like that. But for Jnani, the opportunity is much better than the other three. Artha, Jignasu, Artharthi. So Mahatma Sudurlabhaha, such a person who is a great surrendered soul unto Krishna is very rare. Okay. So, Krishna describes the rarity of a pure devotee. Kevala Bhakta is very rare. That's what is described in this 19th sloka. So, the Sukritinas means Artha, Jignasu, Artharthi. Because they have some material desires, they experience those material pleasures for many lives. Okay. And finally, in one birth, they find these pleasures distasteful. Even if someone takes shelter of Krishna, still there is some taste for material pleasure in the heart of immature devotees. So just because that itch is still there, Krishna facilitates for the fulfillment of those desires. But at one point, they will find that material pleasures as distasteful, and they will find exclusive taste only in Krishna's devotional service. And that is the stage that the pure soul is ultimately aspiring for. And that is the stage that Krishna is ultimately expecting from every one of us. When that stage arrives, Krishna just takes them back to Godhead. Krishna embraces them. Okay, so they gain knowledge of Krishna Swarupa properly, and they surrender unto Krishna, and they ultimately attain Krishna. Okay. So that is the glory of devotional service. So point is, even if somebody has material desires, it's always better to take shelter of Krishna only. So Krishna may, if needed, Krishna may fulfill your material desires also. Okay. And thus he will purify you of material desires, and in such a pure state he will accept you completely. But even for the fulfillment of material desires, if we approach some other people, some other demigods or some other so-called worshipable people, it's of no use. So akamaha sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. So the ultimate effort in outreach is to basically bring people to take shelter of Krishna, to inspire people to take shelter of Krishna. That is their ultimate, that causes the ultimate benefit of a human being. Okay. So, God. So, some people may call God to be Krishna, and some other people may call God to be someone else. But ultimately, the aspiration of every spirit soul is to love God, to serve God. Okay. So, here we have seen up to the 19th shloka, and from 20th shloka we'll see in the next session. Hare Krishna.
Again, sunlight will
come. Yeah, we'll change the position. Nine more shlokas, we can complete first.
It's almost reaching on your head.
Yeah, yeah. Where do we sit now? The next 5 minutes we'll start.
Try to see the room.
Like here, if you will sit, then we can take cross.
See, it is okay.
No, I have a bag. Bag. Red.
But up, this whole length will be covered by sun. After little more time. Not just this much.
Then shall we go somewhere else? Should we go into the Gopeshwar Mahadev thing? We are only hardly 5-6 people are there.
There directly to
Ariel.
Which will take me
here is better.
I am going to go to the house. এখন মেন হচ্ছে আশ্রমের সবজিটা গিয়ে কেউ নিয়ে আসা যেটা বাজবে নাহলে কটা বাজে এখনো আসে না 10:30 15:00 বাজে 15:00 বাজে কি করবে আসবে ওটাই আনামেন আশ্রমের জুসটা আর কি পানি এটা কিশোরপুর স্যার প্রথমে বললাম এই জায়গা বসতে তাহলে আর কিছু হতে হবে না কাহিনী করবে দৈত্যরে হাঁটি আসে
গৌরচন্দ্র ভগবান তো গৌরচন্দ্র ভগবান কাগে।